would not hurt us one bit to lay aside all the needs, all the burdens, all the requests we have for God, and at least one night lay aside a time and a day, a week, whatever, a service, lay aside to just giving God thanks and just being thankful. Look in Colossians 3 and verse number 15. The Bible says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful," he says. Be ye thankful. Now in Colossians 3, verse 15, God is imploring us. He is beseeching us. He is commanding us to be thankful. Be ye thankful. And if we were to lay aside all the blessings that God has given us and all the good things that we have, if we were to you hear folks say, you know, if God never did one other good thing for me, it's still been a lot better to me than I deserve. And that's true. Amen. I agree with that. But if we were to lay aside all the blessings and all the good things God has done for us in our life, it would still be enough just the command itself for us to be thankful. Just the fact that he said, "Be ye thankful," would still be enough for us to still be thankful unto God, just because he simply told us to. But he went far beyond just the command, and he's actually given us a whole lot to be thankful for. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, he's been mighty good to us. Now, I think that this verse here, Colossians 3, verse 15, I think it's probably disobeyed more than any other command in the Bible by most Christians. I think it's probably disobeyed more than any of them. I mean, you just think about how even in just this week alone, how many times a lot of us have gone through a day and felt sorry for ourselves and thrown ourselves a pity party and griped and complained and not been thankful for what God's done for us. You think about the days. I mean, I'm talking about myself too, myself included. You think about whole days that we have at times in our lives, and even more than a day sometimes maybe, where we let whole days or even multiple days go by where we never stop one time and say, "Thank you, Lord, for being so good to me. Thank you for all that you've given me and all you've blessed me with." Think about the days that we've let whole days go by and never stop one time to just be thankful. Boy, that's a shame, ain't it? That's a shame. That's a disgrace to not be thankful to the Lord for all that he's done for us. You know, 2 Timothy 3:2 lets us know that it is a sign of the last days that men would be unthankful. Unthankful. Matter of fact, I was just looking at that a minute ago, and if you want to turn over there, you can. If not, I'll read it to you. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." And he gives a whole long list of other folks that are going, that, you know, that signs of the last days, things that are going to be the company of the last days. But look at how closely tied unthankful and unholy are. I mean, they're just right there together. We look at somebody that's unholy, and we think about the wickedest person on the face of the earth. But we think about that man that's way out in sin, and boy, they're just wicked and sinning against God, living their life for the world. When we think about the unholy, right? But God lists the unthankful right there next to the unholy. And whenever we go days and we go times and we go seasons where we are unthankful, I think it makes us just as unholy and just as wicked in the eyes of God as all the unholiness and wickedness in our society today. Amen. God, it's a big deal to God whenever we are unthankful, brother. It's a big deal. Now, we kind of look over it a lot of times. I do, you know. You ain't just look over it like it's not a big deal. You don't even think about it, really, is the problem. We don't think about it. That's really the problem. We just don't think about it. But I tell you this, God thinks about it. It's a big deal to God. It's on God's mind. He knows. And you notice this, the more we are blessed a lot of times, the more we have, generally, the less thankful we are most of the time.
And the more God blesses us, the less thankful we are for the blessings that He have. And God has just poured on us and poured on us and blessed us so much. And the more He does, it seems like the more unthankful we become. The most thankful people in the world are poor people. The most content people in the world are poor people. Folks that don't have anything a lot of times, and the more God gives us, the less thankful we are. That's just human nature, you know. That human nature, that's something else, isn't it? Human nature is, it is really something else. How the more blessed we are, the more unthankful we become. Reminds me of a story I heard, preaching this reminds me of a story that I heard about a church that was having a special service and folks were given. They were given money and given offerings. And God was just working that service and putting it in the hearts of people and telling people to give certain amounts. And over here somebody would say, I'll give such and such amount, and they'd give it. And this person over here would say, I'll give such and such amount, and they'd give it. God was just working, and folks was giving. Amen. And boy, it'd be good if God didn't get, we had one of them services around here, wouldn't it? Praise God. But this one couple was sitting there, and this lady raised her hand. She said, I want to give $200. I'm going to write a check right now for $200, and I'm going to give it in memorial for our son who was killed in the line of duty. He was in the military. He's overseas, and somehow or another got killed. She said, I want to give this money, this $200. God's told me to give this $200 in memorial for my son, to remember my son. He was killed in the line of duty. About that time, another lady crossed the aisle in another pew, raised her hand, and she said, I want to give $200 for my son, in memorial of my son being killed in active duty as well. About that time, her husband looked at her and she said, we don't have a son that's been killed in active duty. She said, I know. I want to give it because our son has not been killed in active duty. I want to give it because our boy is still with us today and God's been good to us and God's blessed us. Amen. I tell you, that'll be our mentality sometimes, that we just look around and we see what other folks are going to and we just say, thank you, Lord, that for all the blessings you've given to me and the things I'm not going through every now and then. Amen. We ought to be very quick to praise the Lord, when the truth is a lot of times we're very quick to complain about what we don't have. Reminds me of a lady who said, you know, she only had two teeth. She said, I only got two teeth, but I'm thankful they meet. If you only got two teeth, you're thankful they meet. I mean, at least you can chew something with two teeth as long as they meet. Amen. Hey, you've always got something to be thankful for. In every situation, in every circumstance, we can always see something that God is doing. And there's always someone worse off than you are, and always something worse out there that you could be in. So you may as well just throw your hands up and say, thank you, Lord, for being so good to me. Not a story, but a guy was telling, not really a joke, but it's just kind of a made-up story, talking about angels up in heaven. They were bottling up prayers. They had these two angels in heaven. They were bottling up prayers, and they were bottling up different kinds of prayers. Some were gathering up, bottling up asking prayers. The other ones were bottling up thanking prayers. And that one angel, bottling up prayers, and boy, it was just running over those prayers. Boy, trying to bottle them up, and it was just running over, running all out to the floor, bottling up asking prayers. This other angel over here was bottling up thanking prayers, and there wasn't just a little tiny bit down in there. All the prayers that were going up that they were bottling, and all the asking prayers was running over, but yet there was a bottle of the thanking prayers. And that's a shame, ain't it? Because the truth is, that's the way we are a lot of times. The way we are. We ask God for so much, and I think He desires to meet our needs and desires to give to us, but we spend so little time being thankful. Ain't that right? What a sin, brother. What a sin. That is a sin against God. You know, you want to get into a good mood? Just go to listen all the good things God has done for you. We were at that meeting over in Alabama just, you know, yesterday and Monday, and Brother Dwayne Moore was preaching. He told a story about black preacher out in Southern California, I think S.M. Lockridge, I think was his name. And he started talking about that preacher, that black preacher was talking about that song that we sang earlier. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. And he said that he tried to do that, and he attempted to count all of his blessings, and name them, just list them one by one. He found that it was an impossibility, because as he got to numbering his blessings and counting his blessings and listing his blessings, before long he was on shout. And he forgot what number he was on and had to start back over again. He said it's an impossibility to number all your many blessings. Amen. I tell you, you want to get in a good mood, just go to listing and counting all your blessings. Amen. Just feeling good enough to get up and come to I was thinking about that. Just the fact that tonight you felt good. You may not have felt 100%. But just the fact that you did feel good enough to get up and get to stirring, get your clothes on, and get in the car and head over to church. Hey, there are folks not that would give up everything they own and give every dollar they have if they could just feel as good as you feel tonight, enough so that they could get up and come to the house of God, hear the Word of God preached. Amen. That's a blessing, ain't it? Well, I'm glad I'm the only one that's glad that I feel good to be in the house. I'm glad I'm the only one that's at least a little bit thankful tonight. Praise God. Amen. We ought to be thankful. We just can't thank Him enough, the song says. We just can't praise Him enough for how good He's been to us. Amen. Heard about a preacher that was always praising the Lord for the good weather and just praising the Lord for everything. How nice everything was. He'd come to church. He'd just praise the Lord, thanking the Lord. And they came to church one day. And boy, it was storming and it was nasty. The weather was as bad as you could imagine it could possibly be. And one lady said to another lady, says, walking in, I bet he won't be thankful today for this weather. And they came in and the service got started. And he said, thank the Lord, praise the Lord, that it's not always like this. Amen. Praise the Lord, we have some good days and the sun is shining when the birds are singing. And it's not always like this. Praise God, He gives us good days and good times. And we have good experiences in life. Even when you're going through the dark valley, there's mountain times in your life. And God gives us those. And praise God, even when they're not good, the times are not good, He does give us good times in our life. There's always something to be thankful for. Again, one thing that brings revival is when God's people just simply start thanking God. Start being thankful. Start thanking the Lord for being so good to Him. I could stop preaching right now. I could stop preaching right now. And if everybody in here would find their cell, make their way down to the altar and just get on their face before God and just go to thanking God for being good to them. But there's no telling what God might do in this place tonight. If folks are just going to praying and thanking God, listing all their blessings, Lord, thank you for our church. And Lord, thank you for saving me. And thank you for giving me a Bible. And thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit of God that's guiding me into all truth and working in my life. And Lord, thank you for a pastor. And thank you for deacons, and thank you, Lord, for our fellow brethren to walk alongside, and thank you for my husband, and thank you for my wife, and thank you for my kids, and thank you for the car I drive, and the shoes I'm wearing, and the clothes I'm wearing, and the house I live in, and the heat that'll be on tonight, and the food in the cabinet, and the air I'm breathing, and the water I'm drinking, and the job I have, and just on and on and on we could go. If we just go to thanking God, there's no telling what God might do in us. Amen. I want to give you just a couple things tonight that we ought to really be thankful for. I mean, we ought to really be thankful for. First of all, I want to say we ought to really be thankful for the privilege to live here in America. We ought to really be thankful that we have the privilege to live here in America. I've heard Brother Billy Mitchell say many times in preaching, talking about how God is no respecter of persons. And he'd always say, well, in some things he is, and some things he's not. And he'd say, God had to have some respect for you to let you be born here in America. Not over in the middle of nowhere in some jungle in some poverty-ridden nation. Not that those people are below us or beneath us. I don't want you to get that idea. But listen to me. God had to have some respect for you, and He's shown you some grace and shown you some mercy in letting you be born in America and let you be born in the South in the Bible Belt where there's still old-time Baptist churches and old-time preachers, and we can get a hold of King James Bibles anytime we want to. Hey, God has been good to us in letting us be born and live here in America. There are folks all over this world tonight that have not been shed near the spiritual light and gospel light that you have as you sit on that pew tonight. Amen. Now that's a good thing and a bad thing, because unto whom much is given, much is required. You're going to be held a lot more accountable than what them folks are. But God's been good to you. And all you think about through the years, you think about it. You think about through the years, all the men of God that has stood in this pulpit do a whole lot better job preaching than what I'm doing tonight. But the men of God that have blazed the trail for God and stood in this pulpit and held forth the blessed word of God and revealed to you the deep things of God through His Word. And you think about it. You think about the Spirit of God that's moved in this place through the years. And you think about all that God's done for you and revealed to you through this church and through this society and through this city and just all the blessings that we have just because we live in America. Amen. Now, I know America is not what she should be, and she's a far cry from what she used to be. Amen. And America's as backslid as she's ever been today. And America needs God and America needs revival. But I say this, I am thankful for the red, white, and blue. And I'm thankful for the Statue of Liberty. And I'm thankful for our Constitution. And I'm thankful for the freedom that we have here in America that most of the world does not know anything about. They'll show all these commercials and things on TV and make all these other countries just look just beautiful, just grand. They'll pick out a few little hand-picked, cherry-picked places with beautiful beaches and beautiful scenery and beautiful rivers running through towns and things like that. And you look at those and folks think, oh man, that's such a romantic, looks like such a romantic place. I wish I was there. But I want you to know, most of the places on this earth is nothing like America. And they'll deceive you. And most of the time, if you leave this country, you'll find that you can't wait to get home. Amen. Amen. Now, I've left America and I've been to Ireland. Ireland's a beautiful place and I love Ireland. And if there was another place I could live outside of America, it probably would be Ireland. But I want you to know that whenever we went to Ireland, we spent 8 days over there. By the end of that trip, I could not wait to get back to America. Amen. I could not wait to get back to the red, white, and blue, where we're free and where we've got Bibles and where we've got preachers and old-time religion, where God has worked and raised a nation up down through time, where God is. Amen. I'm not saying God's not in other places, but I'm just saying I'm glad to be in America. You ought to thank God for it. You ought to thank God for it. Amen. Let me tell you how it all started. Let me tell you how it all started. Now listen real good, especially if you went to public school, because they're not going to teach you this in public school. You say amen. You may as well just say amen right there. Amen. This is how it all started. A group in Scrooby, England prepared to come to their new home where they might preach, pray, and preserve their culture and raise their children to live for God. From Leyden, Holland, they boarded the 60-ton Speedwell ship. They knew they were pilgrims. They brought with them a printing press, 200 books, and a Bible to be the textbook for the children at school. They brought with them a Bible to be the textbook for the children at school. The Speedwell and the Mayflower sailed on August 5th, 1620, and after 300 miles, the Speedwell was declared unseaworthy and had to turn around and go back. All passengers that wanted to go ahead had to get aboard the Mayflower. So they all boarded the Mayflower and set sail for this country on September 6th, 1620. The Mayflower sailed with 102 passengers. 20 people had dropped out, went back. That was a mistake. It was a big mistake. Listen to me. Whenever times get hard, times get tough in your Christian life, the worst thing you could do is drop out and go back. Amen. Blessings were just over the horizon. Amen. 20 had dropped out. They sailed on with 7 weeks behind them and 60 more days ahead. They were eating all the food supply. They couldn't go back at this time. Didn't have enough food to go back. They had, by the way, also they'd sold their land, sold their houses. They had nothing behind them to go back to as they sailed on the Mayflower. Some of the sailors that ran the ship began to mock and laugh at the Christians for praying on that ship. Now, again, they're not going to teach you this in school, so you better listen. The leader of the mockers suddenly was taken with a strange fever and died within just a few hours. No one else mocked anymore after that. His was the first body to go overboard on that trip. I wonder why they don't teach that in school. I wonder why they don't teach that folks were mocking the Christians for praying on the original voyage over here, and when they were mocking, God killed them, and they were the first ones that died. I wonder why they don't teach that. Amen. His was the first body to go overboard. Finally, on November 9th, at 7 a.m., a shout came from the crow's nest, "Land ho!" When this was heard, shouts rang out all over the ship. Tears began to fall down their cheeks, and the people fell to their knees and began to thank God and call on God. They began to pray and praise the Lord. Elder Brewster stood and read the 100th Psalm. He read, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that madeth, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." And the shouts of praise rang out all over the ship as he read the 100th song. All over the Mayflower, they were praising and thanking God, saying, "Thank God we have made it to our new home." They would soon be at their new home. They came out on the main deck as the shouts rang out. They knelt on the shores of Cape Cod. Now think about this. Think about this. There were no houses. Only wilderness. And it was winter time here when they landed, with nothing but the ocean behind them. Nothing but wilderness, winter, no houses, nothing. And the ocean behind them, and months of traveling. Now, what could sustain these pilgrims on this new land? Nothing but the Spirit of God and His grace would keep them going. They found a piece of land already cleared on a place known as Plymouth Rock. You've heard of Plymouth Rock. They found a place on Plymouth Rock that was already cleared, as if an unseen hand had wiped it off and cleared it for them. The trees were cut. Everything was cleared and ready for a colony to begin in this place. And they couldn't figure it out. They were looking around, and boy, it looked like, again, looked like an unseen hand. It looked like the hand of God had just prepared it for them, like it was just there waiting on them. They couldn't figure it out. But they later found out that a hostile tribe of Indians had attempted to live on this rock. But a strange plague had mysteriously destroyed the entire clan. Word got out among all the other Indian tribes that the Great Spirit was angry with them and destroyed that entire tribe. And so all the other tribes, for fear, stayed away from this piece of property. They would not go near it. It was as if the hand of God had cleared this land and prepared the way for the pilgrims. They settled and began to powerfully and profitably preach the Word of God as people sat on long benches and started their life. In October of 1621, the governor declared a day of public thanksgiving and prayer unto God for all that God had done for him in the past year. It was on that about that first year anniversary. They look back over the last year. Look how God has sustained them and kept them going. And he said, I'll tell you what we need to do. We need to have a time of public thanksgiving to thank God for being good to us and keeping us going. That's where it all began, friend. That's where it all began. And so down through time, hey, I've heard other preachers talk about it, I've heard other people testify that God raising up America in such a divine way that it's almost, I mean, if you go back and study out the history, it's almost in the way that God got the children of Israel to the promised land, the way He raised up this nation. And you and me ought to be thankful and never take for granted the blessing it is to be in America, to be in a country that sent out more missionaries than any other nation in the history of the world and printed more King James Bibles than any other nation in the history of the world. A nation that God has used mightily in our day and our generation. Amen. We ought to be thankful to be able to live here in America. And then I want to say we ought to be thankful to be saved and be able to go to heaven. We ought to be thankful for that. We ought to be thankful to be saved and go to heaven. I heard a story about an employer, guy who owned a business, and he, every year at Thanksgiving, he would give out turkeys to all of his employees. He'd give out turkeys and just to be a blessing, just give gifts. Year after year after year, he'd give out these turkeys. And it seemed like, man, the bigger the business grew, the more turkeys he gave out. One year, it said he gave out 173 turkeys to all of his employees. After a while, he got tired of it, got tired of giving those turkeys out every year. Because after all those years of giving out all those turkeys, and even that big year, giving out 173 turkeys in a year, giving them to his employees, after all those years, only two ever came back and thanked him for giving out those turkeys. Only two. Reckon how God feels. I mean, He's given us more than turkeys. I mean, most of us got pantries full of food at the house. And nice cars to drive. I mean, you just go to adding it up down through the years. I mean, you just look at all that God has given to us. I mean, you just look at our health. How everybody here had enough health. May not have felt the best, but at least had enough health to get here tonight. Folks say, well, it ain't no big deal. I mean, it's not a big thing. You know, people start thinking that they're really the one making their way. They're working hard and they're earning their living. No. God has given you the ability, given you the faculties, and blessing you and blessing me to do what we're doing. God is doing this for us. Reckon how He feels after year after year after year and time after time after time. He's blessed us so much, day after day after day. That goes by where He just gives us one blessing after another that we never thank Him. Breathing His air, drinking His water, eating His food. I mean, all these things. Boy, God's sure been good to us, hasn't He? See, the thing is, just like those employees, we can take and take and take and take until we get to the point where we just expect God to bless us and get mad if He doesn't. I mean, think about how good God's been to you, but then how frustrated you can get, and I get sometimes if some little something goes wrong. Preaching myself under conviction here tonight. Some little something doesn't go exactly the way I want it to go, and I get all tied up in a knot and all in a fit. Man, just get all discouraged and tore up and irritated and everything because one little thing, and you think about all the good things, all the things that's going right, and one little thing goes wrong, and boy, we just get all tore all to pieces. Because God has given and given and given and given and just poured it all on us, and then we just expect it. Is there anybody in here tonight that does not expect just to wake up in the morning? If we'd be honest, we really all do. We just take for granted. We just expect to go to bed tonight, sleep in a warm bed, be comfortable, and the alarm go off in the morning or whatever wakes you up in the morning, and you just get up and just go about your day. We just expect it. But you realize God's the one doing that. He wakes us up every morning. And Lord willing, we will wake up in the morning. I mean, you, as we sit here tonight, no, there's not a doubt in my mind that the sun will come up tomorrow. And whenever it goes down, the moon will come up behind it. And you know, the sun will be shining, the birds will be singing, and the trees will be turning because of the time of year that it is. And it'll be a nice day. I mean, no doubt all those things likely will happen, but we take for granted that God's the one doing it for us, and He's blessing us with it. Just one more day. But see, He's given us so much, we just expect it. We just expect it. I mean, think about this. This just kind of came to me. Think about this. I'm pretty much done, I promise. I know folks can't hardly handle too much preaching on being thankful, so I'm not going to keep you too long. But you think about one of the most miserable ways to start your day in the morning, for me anyways, because I like to shower every morning. And you think about how miserable it is whenever you go there in the morning, you cut the hot water on, and no hot water comes out. And you learn that your hot water heater has gone out. Or your water heater. Hot water heater, that's redundant. Your water heater has gone out. Your water heater has gone out. That's a pretty miserable start to the day. You want to know why it's so miserable and why we get so upset about that? Because day after day after day after day after day, weeks upon weeks and months upon months, even years upon years, we've gotten up every morning and we've cut the hot water on, and hot water has just come out of the spigot. And the one time it doesn't, it just ruins our whole day. We just don't know what we're going to do. Our whole life gets put on hold, and it's like we can't do anything else in life until this problem is fixed. But I want you to think about something tonight. The majority of people in this world, they're not fighting for hot water. They're fighting for clean, drinkable water. They're fighting for just water that they can drink to sustain their life. It's got nothing to do with comfort. It's got nothing to do with waking up in the morning and enjoying a good hot shower. It's got nothing to do with that. It's about survival. It's about, I've got to have some clean drinking water or we're not going to make it. My family's not going to make it. We're not going to survive. Most of the world, they're not wanting warm water. They just want clean water. And yet here we sit, and so many days can go by, so many times we can just not stop and thank the Lord, not be thankful. Amen. See, what a lot of people are wanting here is wanting heaven here. See, we're saved, we get to go to heaven. What a lot of people are wanting is heaven here. Big, fine houses and nice cars and all these things. But can I tell you that what the best things that this world has off, it's not going to be a drop in the bucket for heaven. It's not even going to compare to heaven. Not even going to be anywhere close. And yet the Lord has saved us, given us all He's given us, and we still get to go to heaven when all this is said and done. I say we ought to be thankful we were born here in America. I want to say we ought to be thankful we're saved and get to go to heaven. See, here in America, you've got many chances to be saved. There's Baptist churches. There's the Gospels going out. There's King James Bibles. And I mean, there's many, many chances here in America to be saved. But in a lot of countries all over the world, people have never heard the name of Jesus one time. I tell you, I say we got a lot to be thankful for. We got a lot to be thankful for. I tell you what I want to do tonight. I want us to stand to our feet. And Sister Wilson, I'm going to get you to just come to the piano and pick something out, play something softly, and call it an invitation, call it what you want to. I just want to give you an opportunity for those that would like to just come down to the altar and just thank the Lord. Just get on your knees and just thank the Lord. You ever just prayed and just thanked the Lord? You've not asked for anything, said you just thanked Him? You know, if you're like me, that can actually be a little difficult to get yourself out of the routine of just asking. Why? Because we're so used to asking. We're not used to just thanking Him. We get in this routine of going through our prayer and asking God for all the things we need. What about tonight we just thank Him? Thank Him. Name all your blessings. List them one by one. So you do what you want to do. I'm going to pray. I'm going to thank God.